This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Atepoti Youth, Vibe Check.
Vibe Check on Youth Zone is all about the young people and youth support organisations in Dunedin.
Fortnightly Wednesdays at 4:30 p.m. hear about what's coming up around the city. Podcasts are available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and oar.org.nz.
Kia ora everyone, welcome back to Vibe Check, a show on the youth support organisations and events in Otipoti, Dunedin. We have NetSafe here with us, Alex and Jennifer, to talk about the Young Digital Leaders Program. Kia ora, both of you.
Kia ora.
Kia ora.
Yay. Firstly, do you want to introduce NetSafe and tell us all about the Young Digital Leaders Program that's happening?
Absolutely. So, let me tell you a little bit about NetSafe Arena. So we are Aotearoa New Zealand's online safety organisation. So what that means is we are here for anybody in New Zealand who's experienced any kind of online harm or online issue. We've been around for over 25 years, and our real purpose is to support people to have safe and positive online experiences. So we run that helpline, which provides free and confidential support to anybody. And we also work a lot in education with schools and communities to try and raise awareness about harm prevention and how to stay safe online, so that we're not just that ambulance at the bottom of the cliff, but we're also trying to stop people from falling off the top of the cliff at the same time.
So there's a lot of aspects to education and so prevention, as well as trying to stop things from spiraling.
Yeah, absolutely. So we work a lot with schools and communities, providing resources to try and, build confidence and build skills to stay safe online. But obviously we've got that helpline and an expert team of people who can really help to work through when things go wrong online and potentially to redress that harm, because there's a piece of legislation in New Zealand called the Harmful Digital Communications Act. NetSafe is the approved agency under that act, which means we can actually take some steps to really try and help remediate when there's been online harm if it meets certain criteria.
I think this is a really good time to get to know your roles in NetSafe. So Alex and Jennifer, do you want to tell us what you specifically do for the community?
Sure. So my role is to lead the education and product development team. So that's really the work that we do in schools, as I mentioned, and the sort of resources and public materials that we have for public education, so via our websites, for example. So we're a team that design and develop and launch all of those materials.
And I'm Jennifer, but I'm a project manager with NetSafe. So in this case, my role is to work alongside young people across Otago. So creating some spaces where they can explore the digital experiences, identify the issues that matter most to them, and design their own solutions. So that's one of the projects I'm working on. And then I'm also involved in other projects that support being safe online and understanding the ways in which we can protect ourselves online at any age, not just when we're young people, but at any age, because online harm doesn't just happen to our young people. It happens to everyone.
And when we talk about online harm affecting lots of people, we know that NetSafe supports rangatahi, tamariki, and also parents as well. So, like, can you tell us the resources available for support?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And there's a lot of them. we do support people, really across the lifespan, so to speak. So for tamariki, the focus really is on trying to build those foundational digital citizenship skills. So building confidence, empathy, such as the importance of kindness and respect online, and some critical thinking. We have a fantastic animated series called Hector's World, which is designed for our sort of primary school tamariki. For rangatahi, we, like with this program, we are working to create spaces for young people to have leadership, to have their voice. We've recently recorded a youth podcast with you as well, which was another opportunity. And again, we work a lot with schools, providing classroom materials for teachers and for students to be able to use to build those digital literacy skills. And for parents, whānau, for adults and older adults, our website is just absolutely full of advice, guidance and resources to help educate as well as provide that information about what to do when something goes wrong. So, you know, we see every day through our helpline how complex online harm can be across, you know, across all ages and stages. And so this prevention and this education and the youth voice are such important parts of the puzzle in preventing that harm from happening.
It really does take a village. Everyone has to play their part. And yes. It's not just the responsibilities of one person experiencing the harm. It's, you know, their family, whānau,
absolutely.
Schools. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Why are young people dealing with online harm right now? Like, what are certain issues that you are seeing as trends at the moment?
Look, I mean, that's a massive question. The digital space, it's evolving so constantly and so rapidly as well with different, technologies, particularly with things like AI and other emerging technology coming through. And we do see that harm is kind of faster moving and more complex, than it was even a few years ago. So there are kind of some of the bigger issues that we know are happening, things like sextortion, deep fakes, sharing of intimate images, online bullying, all of those kind of big, scary topics. And yeah, we know that those are happening. But we also know from the young people that we speak to that they're grappling with much more sort of day-to-day issues as well, just in terms of managing the volume of notifications that they get on their phones, or how they're navigating the content that algorithms are serving up to them, and how they kind of spot what's real and what's not real, and you know, in the face of misinformation online and all of that sort of thing. So it's complicated. And again, what we know from our young people that we've spoken with is that there's no sort of single one experience. It's complex, it's nuanced, and that's why it's so important that we are working with young people and understanding what's really going on for them so that we can create solutions together with them, because it's not just a one size fits all that's going to work.
It's also evolving and things are changing, especially with technology and AI.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Do you have anything to add around that, how things have changed and when you compare things from the past?
I think one thing to be aware of too is that it has changed in the sense that everybody's kind of connected to it all the time. So once we're saying my age a little bit, I got to go home and there was no connection to friends unless I was calling on the old dial tone phone, which doesn't happen anymore, right? So it's this constant connection to being online, and that there's no difference between that online and offline life now. It's become one. And just being aware that that's going to be the new norm, and it is the new norm, but how we can navigate that and navigate that in a positive way.
So why is NetSafe focusing on Otago, especially for the Young Digital Leaders Program?
So we have some really incredible experiences of working with Rangatahi in Otago. And about a year ago, we opened a regional office to bring the NetSafe footprint down to the South Island. So the diversity of that urban and rural communities in close proximity, there's some really strong school networks here and significant tertiary institutions as well, which provide such a good melting pot of perspectives and experiences and voices of Rangatahi across Otago. It's also being in the region with a program like this allows us to challenge that traditional Auckland-based youth voice model and ensure regional perspectives are included, because it is a very different experience down here when you compare it to Auckland and what the experiences are online and offline, right? So they've got some very different perspectives about what's actually working for them and what online safety conversations they want to be having. So we need the region like Otago that is likely to surface very different experiences, right? And bring those ideas to the table as well, so that we're getting a well-rounded conversation happening to bring those solutions and ideas to the table.
What have you heard from the differences between rangatahi in up north and comparing them to Otago?
I think we just need to, it's not complete isolation, but I think we just need to understand that the way some of the rural communities are, that we are looking at some isolated individuals, or you're looking at students who are, learning online as well in their schools because they don't potentially have access to everything that some of our urban schools and young people have. So that's probably one of the big things. It's just that it is a little bit different, and that we are some of those young people are using it as a big form of communication because that is their only option to be able to connect with people who might have the same interests as them, because there isn't a club or a group or something that they can go to.
I think the other point there as well is up until now, the NetSafe sort of youth action squad has been our main vehicle for working with and speaking with young people, and that has typically been quite an Auckland-centric cohort, just through, I don't know, through no other reason that those were the kind of the students and schools that were volunteering to take part. So I think we will learn more about those kind of differences between regions through this Young Digital Leaders program in Otago, because we're really going to get to know the students and the young people down here a lot more.
So who are you looking for?
We're looking for young people ages 13 to 17, so that's secondary or high school stage, in central Otago and Dunedin. We're going to start with two pilot groups there. So the big thing is you don't need to be a head student. You don't need to be the top of the class. You don't need to have a formal leadership role, right? So most of the time when students come together from different schools, it's for sports or competition in some way. This opportunity provides young people with the opportunity to collaborate, share ideas, and make meaningful change with each other without it having to be in a competitive sport type arena. So we're looking for diverse voices, and we're looking for different backgrounds and experiences and perspectives. So we've reached out to schools and youth organizations and whānau. You can reach out to NetSafe to register. So if you are interested, you're probably best to email us at education@netsafe.org.nz. That way we can get you onto the right track and talking to myself or Alex and to the right people to kind of get you in the into the space.
And just so people know what to expect, what kinds of workshops are you planning to host, and when does the program start?
Okay. So ideally, we're kind of hoping to form our two pilot groups by the end of this term and then have an workshop kind of early in term two. So what we'll work on is we'll be co-creating some group values and expectations. We'll kind of explore what those online harms are looking like for the young people in those groups. We'll do some baseline research, but then we're also going to dive into some co-design and some action research where our young people are going to be taking the lead on that. And based on what we find out from there, they're going to be able to create their own projects and solutions or campaigns to some of the issues that young people are experiencing. And then at the end of the year, the idea is to host a regional showcase of some of these projects. So being able to share with your whānau and share with schools and other young people about some of the amazing stuff that they've been up to over the year. I think what's really important is that there's genuine decision-making power in this, and that the showcase is not predetermined. I have no idea what this is going to look like. We want them to be able to shape this and decide the theme and the style and how they want to present and what that could look like. So we're having facilitators there. They're there for the safety and for the structure, and to be able to be like, yep, we've got morning tea ordered, or yep, there's this. But it is about the young people creating and coming up with solutions and ideas about how they can champion online safety for themselves and other young people in the area.
I love how with the showcase you are bringing their ideas forward for the community to see what they've prepared for the whole year as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a great way to share that, isn't it? And then I know there's going to be amazing ideas that come out of us. So it's going to be awesome to be able to be like, look at what they've done. And this is their ideas and solutions. And it's not being done to them, but done with them.
I'm interested to know, what is it about your job that makes you excited about what you do and just makes you keep going?
Ooh,
who wants to go first? Yeah.
Alex, you go.
Gosh. Well, look, I mean, I love that. No, I mean, this sounds really cliched, doesn't it? But no 2 days are the same. certainly no 2 weeks are the same. And whilst, there are constants in the role, there is an ongoing service to be delivered. There are websites to maintain. There are things that have to happen from week to week and month to month, but the range of projects that I get to work on, ideas that I get to come up with, and test, and just the work, workshops and things that we get to go out into the community, and create with community and with young people. All of those things are just, really, really cool. I mean, an example, as you know, Arena, I've worked with you at the station in the last few weeks to create a podcast with young people, which, you know, I've never done anything like that before, but it was an opportunity that arose. And working with that group of, young people from Dunedin was just so amazing, just to listen to those conversations and see what we created at the end of it. So yeah, I think for me, it would just be the variety of work and the fact that we are doing this work for such a purpose, to, you know, help people to be safer and more confident online. It's really meaningful for me.
Well, that pretty much sums it up, doesn't it?
And we're both parents as well,
yeah,
right? Like we've got our own young people in the world.
And that's exactly it, isn't it? My oldest is 10, so I've got young children, and much like Alex, and we are navigating, like, hey, the first devices are coming through with school. So how are we keeping our kids safe, and how do we have those conversations? And I think for me, what keeps this exciting is that, like, I come from a teaching background and then coming into NetSafe, and you know, you're working with young people or you're working with the community. And that's so important to be able to create resources or projects or solutions that work for them, right? And having those conversations that are actually going to make a difference to someone's life and their experiences online, and making sure that it's positive, because it should be positive. Technology is amazing and we can do such incredible things with it, but we want to be able to have those spaces that we know we're safe and that we're doing all that we can to protect ourselves and keeping ourselves safe and having that positive experience.
And that's a good point. Both of you are parents yourselves, and being in this role, I'm sure, just makes you think about things differently as well, because you are focusing on your children and also the people, the communities that you are trying to keep safe.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's definitely a good test of the practice what you preach moment as well, when we might be watching a few too many cartoons on the iPad, for example. And but yeah, we're I think being a parent really helps, but also vice versa, working at NetSafe helps to inform some of that digital parenting back in the home as well.
Yeah, it comes hand in hand, which is why it's great that NetSafe has resources for all different types of communities, like toolkits for parents.
Yes,
Fano.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
And everything is on their website as well, the resources.
Yep. So our main website is netsafe.org.nz. And we've got a section on there for young people and children. We've got a section on there for parents and caregivers, for older adults, seniors, grandparents who might be navigating online life, as well as lots of general advice on topics like social media safety or staying safe online in the home, for example. So that's a really great first port of call. And obviously there is where you will find all of the ways to contact our helpline as well.
Mm. So thinking about the first steps people should take in case they are in a position of online harm, do they go to their website first or do they call the helpline?
Look, the helpline is always available to anybody in New Zealand. But I guess, first of all, I would say don't deal with it alone. Reach out to somebody that you trust. It might be a friend, a parent or caregiver, someone in your whānau. But you don't need to manage things alone. And yes, of course, you can contact NetSafe to speak confidentially. It's completely free and our helpline team are really incredible and they can provide advice on next steps and help with that support and guidance on what's available, depending on your situation, of course. Sometimes it may be appropriate to sort of screenshot and document what's happened. Obviously, always use the block and report features in platform if it's something that's happening on a specific platform. But yeah, reach out, talk to a trusted person, a trusted adult, and contact NetSafe for more advice.
Vibe Check on Youth Zone is all about checking in on our mental health and well-being and sharing ideas on how we can all just take care of ourselves as well. With your jobs being very, you know, it can be heavy on some days because of the responsibilities that you do have for the community. How do you take care of yourselves after a busy day at work?
Absolutely. I mean, it's... you're right. Online working in the space can be heavy, and you hear some things. You're like, oh, it's tough sometimes. But for me, I guess well-being is that time offline as well, and having those clear boundaries around devices for myself with work as well as for my kids. You know, and getting outside in nature is one thing that I love doing. I'm on a small farm, but also my kids love tramping and, you know, out in Otago, it's pretty easy to get out and go anywhere really. But for us, it's that almost like. What do you want to call it? The time offline is like, oh, I'm actually away and I'm not available kind of thing. So getting out of reception almost, which is getting harder and harder, but it's important to have that space. And I think too, like that regular debriefing, isn't it, Alex, with our colleagues and what we're going through and some of those pieces. And again, though, staying connected to the positive impact we're having is good. And a reminder all the time about that.
Yeah, for me, I think I echo what you have just said, Jennifer, and I'm just on a small little lifestyle block here. Yeah. But I think for me, because I work remotely and I work from home, my well-being is really supported when I close the door to the little box room where my computer sits and just find that way to then kind of close out the workday before picking up the kids or before we're together as a whānau for the evening. So it might just be taking a wee walk with the dogs or going into the veggie garden. I'm, you know, pretty simple pleasures, but it's that's for me, that's a way to kind of unwind and then nice. Change headspace.
I love how taking a step back and going offline is how you just take care of your haora after a busy day.
Yeah, well, it's I think as we said earlier, you know, you can get so it's so easy to be ruled by the notifications and checking the inbox, and you know, we're connected on Teams chats and emails and all of that sort of thing. So yeah, being really intentional about where you where your kind of I'm done for the day moment is important, because otherwise. You know, and it's happened before, you find yourself still checking those messages at 10 o'clock at night and not really creating those boundaries between work time and non-work time. Yeah.
So if you're a rangatahi in Dunedin between the ages of 13 to 17, I'm interested to join the NetSafe Young Leaders Young Digital Leaders program, email education@netsafe.org.
org.nz.
Perfect. Yep. Lastly, what are you looking forward to in the next few weeks?
Oh, my birthday.
I love that.
Can I say that?
So March is your birthday month. Woohoo. Yeah.
March is my birthday month. And I'm looking forward to swim sports this Friday and seeing my kids in the pool. Hopefully the weather warms up.
Oh, that's awesome. Maybe not in the next couple of weeks, but it's coming up. We have a hut booked to get out and go enjoy, actually in Dunedin. So we're heading to Quarantine Island. So we're looking forward to that. So that's the kids are super excited about that. And they do have athletics this week. So not swim sports, but athletics. So something a little bit different. And hopefully the weather gets a little bit warmer for us.
We're all hoping for good weather. Well, thank you so much, Alex, Jennifer from NetSafe. We wish you all the best and we'll be in touch.
Thanks, Serena. Awesome. Thanks for your time.
Atepoti Youth, Vibe Check.
Vibe Check on Youth Zone is all about the young people and youth support organisations in Dunedin.
Fortnightly Wednesdays at 4:30 p.m. hear about what's coming up around the city. Podcasts are available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and oar.org.nz.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.